In a tiny Victorian town, the football club isn't just a weekend ritual.
It's country footy, you get there really early, you leave late.
But then, one day, something happens.
In the back of a caravan, just over the road from this footy club.
Once I realised what was going to happen, it was not good.
And suddenly, everyone must pick a side.
I just felt angry. Those folks were meant to be my mates.
Hometown Boys, a new series by Background Briefing. Listen now on the ABC Listen app.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's March 25th, 1975. Morning prayers have ended in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Inside the royal palace, sunlight cuts through the tall marble arches. Ministers wait in silence, white robes still, and faces set. They're waiting for King Faisal, the man who is reshaping Saudi Arabia. Cameras from Saudi television stand ready around the hall, recording another morning of formal meetings inside the royal court. Faisal enters slowly, thin, calm, and wrapped in simple white cloth. He's one of the richest men alive, yet the least decorated. Nothing about him is loud, not like the new generation of princes who will rise in the years to come. Across the room, a delegation from Kuwait is waiting. They've come to discuss oil, the Black River that has turned sand into wealth and pushed the Saudi kingdom into a fast and unfamiliar future. A figure steps forward, a young man in the same white robes as the king. One of the thousands of young princes inside the vast House of Saud. He leans in as Faisal approaches. A familiar greeting, nothing unusual. But then, two shots break the air. The king collapses. Blood spreads across the marble floor. The room explodes into movement. But the young prince who fired the gun does not run. He stands completely still while the guard sees him. The cameras of Saudi national television continue to film. Hello, my friend. I'm Aslan Pahari, and today on Assassins, the killing of King Faisal of Saudi Arabia. When someone kills a king, you might assume that the assassin wants to sit on the throne. But that's not the case here. He wasn't chasing political power. So what did he want to achieve? And why did he want it so badly he was willing to kill the king for it? To understand, we need to go back to a moment that begins not with a gun, but with a television screen. 10 years before the assassination, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is holding its breath. It's July 1965. The country is launching its first national TV station. Television has arrived late to the desert kingdom. In most of the world, it's now something ordinary and uncontroversial. But in Saudi Arabia, it's something else entirely. To many viewers, it feels radical and unsafe. The first broadcast begins with Quran recitation. The station has only a few hours of content each day, but soon there'll be a lot more. Shows bringing the outside world into Saudi homes. News from Cairo, music from Beirut, cartoons from America. New images, new voices. Some Saudis are curious. Some are delighted. Others are outraged. For many conservatives, television feels like an intrusion, a foreign presence appearing inside the home without permission, a challenge to the moral structure that they believe holds the kingdom together. It only takes 3 months for conservative anger to reach a breaking point. A large protest forms outside the Riyadh broadcast building. It's led by a strict religious faction that believes the kingdom is allowing modern influences to sway it from its course. Among the protesters stands another young prince, a critic from within the House of Saud itself, Prince Khalid bin Musaid. Deeply religious, fiercely principled, and convinced that television is a sin, an attack on the kingdom's Islamic identity. The protests grow tense. Chants rise, rocks are thrown. Guards push forward. Shots are fired by the authorities. Prince Khalid falls. His death is immediate and devastating. His conservative family blames the modernization they believe took their son. They believe the king allowed an intrusion into the sacred. The protests end, but the cameras keep rolling. Television is here to stay. The prince's death settles heavily across the kingdom. Resentment forms, memory hardens, a sense of injustice lingers. Among those left behind is a younger brother, quiet, watching, carrying a wound that the world does not see. A wound that will one day walk into a palace and pull a trigger. King Faisal might have been the one to bring television to Saudi Arabia, but that's only one part of his story. To understand why he was killed, we must understand the man and the path he walked. Faisal was born in 1906, at a time when Saudi Arabia did not yet exist. Arabia was a land of deserts, tribes, rival chiefs, and long wars. His father was Abdulaziz ibn Saud, the warrior who unified the Arabian Peninsula by force. His mother came from a respected family of Wahhabi scholars, guardians of strict Islamic law. Faisal grew up between discipline and devotion. He slept on the floor, he memorized the Quran, he ate little and spoke with restraint. He learned to listen more than he talked. At the age of 13, he was sent to London on behalf of his father, the king. He was the first Saudi royal to ever make the journey. He saw a world that was loud, fast, and industrial. Trains, factories, telephones, life was moving at a faster pace than it did in the desert. He returned home certain of one thing. The world was changing quickly, and Saudi Arabia needed to keep up or be left behind. But it needed to do so without losing its faith. Years passed, and then, with the discovery of oil, everything changed overnight. Princes bought cars, palaces, chandeliers, and foreign tutors. The kingdom grew noisy with money, and culture shifted faster than people could keep up. But Prince Faisal doesn't get swept up in this newfound excess. He continues to live simply. In a small house near the palace, he carries prayer beads and avoids showy displays of wealth. In 1964, Faisal becomes king after his brother Saud was removed for mismanaging the kingdom's finances. Faisal now stands at the helm of a divided nation. On one side, ancient faith, unchanged and absolute. On the other, modernity and wealth, powerful and impossible to avoid. Faisal believes he can unite both worlds. He believes he can move the nation forward while preserving its soul. But balance is difficult, and change is never clean. When he introduces television, a prince dies in protest. That death is not forgotten. It doesn't soften. It lingers in the palace like a shadow. And a young Saudi prince, the brother of the man who died, carries that shadow within him wherever he goes. His name is Prince Faisal bin Musaid. Growing up, This young royal is shaped by the loss of his older brother, Khalid, killed during the television protest, "Shot My Police." No one openly blames the king, but the family does not forget. As he grows older, the young prince carries questions that refuse to fade. Why did his brother die for a screen? Why did the king push change faster than some could accept? He felt faith on one side and anger on the other. But something else as well, a confusion about the world he lived in. So he left Saudi Arabia and travelled to the United States to study, and walked into a life completely different from the one he knew. America was everything Arabia was not. Fast, free, and loud. He lived in Colorado, then in California. He studied political science, sometimes, and he was an average student. A life of parties, bars, and music. Long hair and denim jackets. A world where no one cared about the House of Saud. He dated an American woman named Christina. Years later, investigators questioned her. She remembered him as charming, restless, and unsure. But the freedom he found didn't seem to settle his heart. In America, he saw people choosing their own identity. In Saudi Arabia, identity was something given to you, and the difference stayed with him. When he returned home, everything felt smaller. The air felt heavier, faith felt stricter, and the king was moving the country even further into modern life. He didn't fit in America. He didn't fit in Arabia. He lived between two worlds and belonged to neither. His brother's death still lived inside him. The new television stations kept broadcasting, the kingdom kept changing. The prince, caught between grief and change, began turning memory into purpose. Not political purpose, not ideological purpose, something quieter and a little more personal. A settling of accounts. And soon, these two worlds, of the prince and the king, would meet again in a bright hall under a high white ceiling. For a moment after the shots ring out, the palace hall does not move. No one understands what's happened. The silence breaks all at once. Guards rush forward and seize the young prince. Diplomats shout. Ministers stumble backwards in shock. The cameras from Saudi National Television continue recording, capturing the moment the path of the kingdom shifts forever. King Faisal is carried out and rushed to the hospital. Doctors work quickly, but the wounds are too severe. He dies within minutes. The assassination has been filmed by the Saudi TV crew, though the footage will never be shown publicly. Outside the palace, news spreads like a shockwave. Shops close and streets empty. Saudi state television interrupts its programming and begins reciting the Quran. Viewers don't need an official statement. They know what that means. Later, the royal court confirms the death of King Faisal. International reports claim that the assassin is mentally unstable. Neighbours whisper the same thing. The assassin, Prince Faisal bin Mossaid, is taken into custody. The royal family faces a painful problem. If they declare him insane, he cannot be executed. If they declare him sane, the House of Saud must publicly execute one of its own. Either path breaks something. Doctors evaluate him for weeks, and scholars ask him about intention and sin. Investigators search for conspiracies or foreign influence. They find nothing. They interview his former girlfriend from America, Christina. She describes a young man troubled by identity and belonging, but not insane. He was not delusional, not disconnected from reality. Saudi law is clear on this. If he knew what he was doing, if he acted with intention, he will face execution. When the judgment is announced, there's no celebration, no public joy. 3 months after the assassination of King Faisal, Prince Faisal bin Musaid is executed in a public square in Riyadh on June 18th, 1975. Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by Tegan Nichols. Kyla Slaven is the supervising producer. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend.